So I'll stop talking so that people can ask questions if you want to.
Can you give kind of a little bit of background history on the popular assemblies? Is that sort of a revival of something that had been formed earlier, or how did those kind of come together?
No, I think the tradition of the assemblies comes from the universities, the high schools, and the working places, where the working class and the students are very used to having assemblies where they discuss. It's not like an assembly in a high school here. It's not like the authorities ask you to come to an assembly and they show you something. It's the students organizing themselves, even in high school, discussing political issues that affect them and the country. So we have a long history of that. Even during the repression and even under stage of siege, there were assemblies in different workplaces in Argentina. What we did not have before, at least in such a formalized way as we have now, is in the neighborhood, in the middle-class neighborhoods, that kind of front where you can go and do politics with your neighbors. That wasn't there before. So I think that I got there when the assemblies were a lot smaller, participation-wise, but I could still see how that will work when the next time that something big happens and they need to organize, I think people will naturally go to the assemblies if they're able to stop the political parties from messing it up, because now there's a huge effort from the Trotskyists and other Marxist parties and nationalist parties to try and co-opt the assembly. So it's getting pretty difficult to do any work there, I think. But there are some assemblies that were able to work around that. And out of that, a lot of art groups are working on the streets, too, with the assemblies, doing artwork. When I started doing puppetry in the streets in Argentina, I had to talk my own friends into helping me into doing that. They were not interested. They thought I was losing my time. Then I went back twice to Argentina, and I was able to coordinate pretty big groups, but it was isolated. It was just a few puppets or a few performances on a huge protest. But this time we had a massive presence there, and people were asking us to come and collaborate with them all the time. So I felt that there was a lot more, people are way more open at this point. And anybody you talk on the street, nobody believes in the government, nor the judicial system, nor in the banking system. So it's like the curtain of ideology that Marx mentioned completely dropped. That's revolutionary in itself, no matter what happens afterwards.
I'm wondering, how are people approaching the assembly? Are they approaching it as the only means for survival, or are they approaching it as just kind of falling back on the way that people traditionally do things, or are they thinking of the assemblies and the way that they're organized as kind of a whole totally different political system? Are they projecting in that way, or is it just something to fall back on?
I think some people think of it as a possible political system. A few people think that way. But mainly people just went there to be able to organize with their own neighbors on a horizontal way what they wanted to do with the economic crisis, what they wanted to do with the bank in the neighborhood. There was an assembly that we built puppets there. We got there and we phoned them to chat because I had some friends who were working there. And they told me, come tomorrow. Something fun's going to happen. I can't tell you on the phone. Just come tomorrow. And when we went there, they had taken over a bank that had been abandoned 2 years ago. The bank closed down, took off with everybody's savings. And the assembly people were called in the park, meeting in the middle of the winter now in Buenos Aires. And they said, well, how about we go occupy the bank? So they went in. They broke in, then they tried to fix it so it wouldn't look like they broke in, and they cleaned it up in a matter of a few hours. The cops came with their long guns and threatened to shoot inside, and they had somebody connected with the judicial system that was a friend, and he went out and talked with the cops and calmed them down. And then from then on, they had the place occupied all the time, and the first activity they did was to build puppets for this big thing that we did on the 26th. So it was pretty... Yeah, I don't think that... There's a situation of dual power, but on the side of the people, I would say it's a little unconscious on their sides. I don't think they realize how much power they have at this point. They were not able to put through any of the measures of the IMF still. They're not able to do it, and that's why the IMF is not giving them any money. But it's not like the government doesn't want to. The government would very much want to do those things. But it would mean another uprising, probably. They haven't been able to cut down the budget of the university, because the university has been completely quiet because everybody's working outside of the university organizing. But as soon as they touch the university, it's going to be barricades again in the streets. So there is a situation of dual power, but I don't think people are all that conscious of it.
Can you talk about how students are organizing outside the university and
A lot of them are working with the Piquetero organization, especially with the Aníbal Verón, because it's one of the few non-hierarchical organizations among the unemployed. So many of them are just going there to collaborate in whichever way they can, either doing outreach, or many people are working on videos and documentation of the process, because everybody feels that Argentina at this point is like a social lab where the IMF is testing their policies and the people are testing their own policies. So there's a lot of attention put in the ways that they are organizing right now. I think that's mainly what students are doing. There's a lot of artists working too with different assemblies. There's like cultural centers. A lot of houses have been squatted, houses that were abandoned for a long time or belong to corporations that are no longer working in the country. They've been squatted, and there's a lot of cultural stuff going on there.
Hey, what are they doing with pirate radio in Argentina right now?
With what radio?
Pirate radio. Setting up their own radio stations and broadcasting to the local people.
I know that there's a lot of new radio stations, but I'm not sure what they're doing. I know that people now have access to more equipment because it's not so difficult. But at the same time, because of the peso was devaluated 4-1 almost. So everything that comes from the U.S. and it's in dollars is completely impossible for them to do anything. Indie Media is doing a great job because a lot of U.S. activists are sending money and equipment to them. If not, it would be virtually impossible for them to even buy biscuits at this point. So I think the radios are going through a lot of that. But you can see a lot of radios that they say, we are the best radio in your block, because it's the only one. They only reach the block. So they go and squat one of these houses, set up a little radio station that is just good for the neighbors in the block, and they do whatever they can there.
That's awesome. I read a little bit about the barter networks that have been formed as well, so people could, with the sort of destruction of the money system going on right now in Argentina, people are sort of trading goods and things like that. I've also heard about a couple factory occupations where things are being redistributed and things like that. What type of things like that are going on, where people are sort of forming in the assemblies and trying to make decisions to restructure their community so that they can survive the crisis?
Yeah, I think that was one of the coolest things that they've done so far. 80 factories are being run by the workers. Once the owners of the factory said, okay, we are going to declare bankruptcy, people went and occupied the space and didn't go away, even though they were tried to be taken away by the cops and stuff like that, because the owners wanted to sell the machinery or whatever. People just occupied the space and started working and distributing merchandise and stuff. So there's a lot of alternative networking going on amongst these factories and amongst people who will go and buy directly from them to help them out. No, the unemployed are also establishing connections that you would never think would happen before. All the land around Buenos Aires is very, very rich. The soil is very rich, and they export all kinds of crops to the whole world. But all these people who were very wealthy a few years ago are now brutally in debt with the National Bank. Now, the IMF wants to privatize the National Bank. So that would mean that a private corporation will buy that bank and buy the land around Buenos Aires, basically, because they are up to their heads in debt. So now you have these people who are wealthy and really reactionary giving food to the unemployed, because they don't know in which way they might need an allegiance between them. That nobody would have thought about it 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, or a year ago, maybe, or before December even. So yeah, there's a lot of alternative things going on. This trade thing, they've been trying to co-opt it to make it like an official money, like an alternative monetary system that the IMF hates, but it seems to be the only way that the economy can move. So they are afraid that this is going to be co-opted somehow, this alternative thing of establishing credits and selling things and all that. But there's a lot. I think the Brookman factory might be the most interesting one, because it is a garment factory and it's all run by women. So now the factory is being run by women, lots of single mothers, and they bring the babies to work and stuff. The political thing is interesting, because one of the Trotsky's party seems to have a lot of to do with the Brookman factory, and at the same time these women now seem to be breaking loose from them, so we'll see.
I'm where does it stand in terms of the government? Like, does it seem as likely that the government will be overthrown at any point, or is it just like
an
insurrection?
The government has to call elections now. There were five governments that were overthrown in a matter of 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Every time that a new government would come to power, people would come out and protest again, so they would have to put a new government. One of them was overthrown by the IMF, actually, because he said he wouldn't pay the debt, and he didn't last 24 hours. The first one after the first one that resigned. But then several of them appointed ministers that had belonged to the dictatorship, and people immediately started protesting that, so that those governments fell again. And this guy, when he ordered the repression of the Piquetero organization, where those two young people were killed, he had to call elections after 2 days after that happened. And the elections are going to happen in March. I'm not sure. I don't think that's going to do any good. The elections are just mainly cosmetic. It's just going to be the president who's going to change. So there's many leftist people who say we are not going to even participate. It's a farce. But it does show that he felt the pressure that he had to call for elections, which he hadn't done before. No.
Yeah. You mentioned five governments being overthrown in a matter of a few months. The different like regimes or whatever came on, what types of offers did they make to people, or what types of like did they, you know, they're trying to sell their regime or whatever to people? What types of different
expressions of populism, what we saw during those days. There were different expressions of populism, nothing too radical. They all came out of the two main political parties. It's the same as here. You have the radicales, who that are not radical at all, but that's the name they have, and the peronists, and they sort of trade off power up to now. But I think what was interesting is that there were elections in October, and the vote that won was, in Argentina it's compulsory to vote. If you don't vote, then you can have a bank account and stuff like that. So people went and broke the ballot and put it in as a vote, and that's the vote that won. None of the parties won. The vote that won was the one that said, we don't care for this. And after that, in December, was the insurrection. No? So I don't think that people pay much attention to what they are saying anymore. It's just that when they appoint people that are extremely harsh, then they react. No.
Is there a sense that that the things that people have done, or sort of the accomplishments that have been made, that there's that they're long lasting, and that there's something that people are sort of interested in kind of developing and sticking with over time? Or is there sort of a sense that, if you know, or that if a government that could sort of appease, you know, people, or you know, just sort of you know, regain sort of national hegemony or whatever, if that comes in, that people would just give up the kind of advances that they've made?
There's no government that could appease anybody, because the economic situation is a disaster, unless it's a government that stops paying the debt and starts allegiances with movements throughout South America. There's no way anybody can appease anything, because the economic situation is a complete disaster. And we are talking about a country where people were used to being wealthy, pretty much, compared to other countries in South America. So it's not like they are used to going hungry or anything like that. So this is going to keep going, who knows how and for how long. There is a sense of urgency. If you talk with any of the activists involved, and now there's thousands of activists involved in all this movement, there's a sense that the crisis is growing faster than what they can organize now. So anything can happen in Argentina at this point, one way or the other.
Does it seem then that these worker community organizations and community councils and the factory councils and all that would actually become like the power, and that the government would just be eradicated somehow? Like, I mean, that would be ideal, right? But is there a movement toward that? Like, are people thinking of their community organizations as the
the activists are thinking that way. There's now over 400 autonomous groups that have no name and meet and study and discuss and do direct action. There's so much going on that people don't even know what's happening, really. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't be somehow stopped, no? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is a very interesting process. We don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Music.